Hello again, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another really good revision history podcast with me, Mr. Hutchison. And this episode is all about the importance of Normandy and Richard's death. Actually, doesn't live much longer than this, and we will move on to John. But before we do, we need to focus on the importance of Normandy. So, you know, I left the last podcast with Richard returning from captivity after the ransom has been paid. The country's been bankrupt doing that. And in February 1194, he heads back to England. Okay. The thing you need to remember beyond Richard's reign, really, and into the start of John's, is for the first sort of 10 years between 1194 and 1204, Richard, John, and Philip II all devoted their energy to trying to win control of Normandy, and by extension, all of the lands in the Angevin Empire and the French part of the Angevin Empire. Okay, so the importance of Normandy is absolutely vital to understanding why, or, you know, understanding the importance of Normandy is absolutely vital to understanding why they devoted so much of their energy to it. So Normandy was important for a bunch of reasons. So you can split these into strategic, economic, and sort of political reasons. Firstly, political. It wasn't just the medieval kings, the Angevin kings like Richard and John, that controlled lands in both France and England. Many of the leading English barons also controlled lands in both. Okay, so losing Normandy, losing the Angevin Empire, would really affect the barons' confidence in their king's ability to protect its people and protect their lands. Okay, in terms of strategy, in terms of strategic reasons, if the French king, or if a king, or if somebody controls all of the lands in northern France, the whole of what is now modern day France, it's far easier to use it as a base to attack England. They, you know, they've got more than just sort of Flanders and that area. They can attack from Normandy and Brittany. It gives them options. So it leaves Britain far more vulnerable to an invasion. Okay, so if Philip, for example, gained control of all of the French lands, he'd be able to use it as a staging post to seriously threaten England. Okay. Also, it was economically important. Normandy and the Angevin Empire was extremely wealthy. It brought in more money than the English part of the lands. And as part of that, there were really strong trade links between Normandy and England. So the Angevin Empire was hugely important. And, you know, that shows us why all of the medieval kings, Philip, Richard, and then later John, you know, spent so much time and energy trying to either keep it safe or conquer it. So listen, when Richard returns in 1194, Philip had made serious inroads into Normandy. He controlled most of Normandy to the east of the River Seine, which runs through Paris, and gained some important castles, important strongholds. So he hadn't taken all of it, but he had certainly made some inroads. He'd certainly started attacking and taking some of the lands there as well. And his army was really close, within striking distance of Rouen, which was the capital city of Normandy. Okay, because Richard had been absent, many of the Norman lords, the important barons, some of them had actually changed sides, decided that they were more likely, or Philip was more likely to win the war, and therefore they changed sides, hoping to keep their lands as well. In Aquitaine, his Richard's mother's land, some of the leading barons were up in revolt against Richard as well. Okay, and as such, Philip had the upper hand. Okay, the odds were seriously stacked against John as a direct result of that. So the situation is in dire straits when Philip returns home. It's actually quite interesting. He returns home in 1194, and you would think he would be bathing for his brother's John's blood. You'd think he'd be furious at the treachery that his brother had, you know, turned against him. But actually, the story goes that Richard was quite forgiving. When John gets on his knees and begs for forgiveness from his brother, Richard calls him a silly child, bearing in mind John was in his mid-30s at the time. But no, Richard calls him a silly child, forgives him, and makes John his heir, which means that if Richard died, John was going to be the next king. You have to bear in mind, of course, that Richard didn't have any sons at this point. So, you know, if we're judging Richard there, you know, he's trying to secure the future of the kingdom. So maybe a good idea, although you could also argue that John perhaps isn't the best choice and hadn't shown himself to be very kingly and trustworthy, you know, due to recent events. But anyway, that's what happens. So once Richard returns home, he forgives John. John goes back onto Richard's side, and then Richard turns his sights to winning back the lands that Philip had taken whilst he was away on crusade and imprisoned. So the first thing he does is goes about strengthening the defence of Rouen. So he builds a castle by the name of Chateau Gaillard. Now, this was a magnificent feat. It took 2 years to build, okay, but he spared no expense. It cost £12,000, which was considerably more than the £7,000 he spent on building all the other castles he built in England during his reign. So Chateau Gaillard cost more than all the other castles Richard built combined. That's how important he considered Normandy to be. So he's consolidating and fortifying Normandy with this wonderful castle, Chateau Gaillard. And I urge you to jump onto Google at some point and type in Chateau Gaillard, and you'll see it. It's absolutely stunning. Okay, it was the latest in castle technology at the time. He'd learned a lot from his time in the Crusades, and he brought some of their ideas about castle building back, Muslim ideas from the Holy Land. And bearing in mind that castles were far more technologically advanced in the Holy Land in medieval times than they were in Europe. So he brings back that, you know, rounded walls, which made it harder for catapults to destroy it. And it was built hundreds of feet above the town on the edge of a great mound with hard rock, which made it very difficult to tunnel underneath, which is one way that people successfully attacked castles in medieval times. So it was technologically just a marvel, and it was extremely powerful, very difficult to break into, demonstrating to us how important Normandy was. But also, you know, it's a great triumph, folks. If we're judging Richard's reign and how good a king he was, building Chateau Gaillard, could be argued, it's a fantastic achievement. This is the most technologically advanced castle in Europe at the time. Okay, Richard was so proud of it, he called it his baby, his daughter. You know, that shows you how attached he was to this place. Okay, so there you go. It's good defensive castle, but historians also think that it was an aggressive strategy as well. It could have been used as a staging post, if you like, to attack and threaten Paris and the French lands. So it was also a statement of intent that, you know, he was not going to let Philip II just dictate and take any lands that he wanted to. This was Richard's attempt to stop all that and show that he was going to be a force to be reckoned with. Okay? In September 1189, Richard launched a surprise attack on Philip and forces him to retreat. And by the following January, Richard had recovered the vast majority of the lands that Philip had taken from him during his time on crusade. And this included that important area of land called the Vexin, which joined Rouen, which is the capital of Normandy in the Angevin Empire, with Paris, which is the capital of France, of course. So even though Richard had lost land and his brother was in open rebellion, okay, whilst Richard is away, whilst he's on crusade and then captured, by September 1198, Richard had almost reversed all of that. He'd won back all of his land from Philip, pretty much. he had brought his treacherous little brother John back onto his side. Okay, and he built this wonderful castle called Chateau Gaillard, which was supposed to keep the Angevin Empire safe from any future invasions by Philip II. Okay, this is September 1198. After Richard forgives John and leaves to build Chateau Gaillard on the continent and you know, take back his lands in France, Richard never returns to England. He's only been there twice. He never goes back. In March 1199, Richard gets involved in a battle which has nothing to do with Philip II. Basically, it's one of his barons starts revolting against Richard. That means sort of going against him, if you like. And Richard, as his feudal lord, rushes to attack him. This baron apparently has a treasure trove as well, so that may have something to do with it. Richard is attacking this castle, you know, allegedly to stop this sort of treacherous baron from revolting or rebelling against Richard, but also, you know, this guy has a lot of money in his castle, so there's that sort of extra incentive for Richard to be there. This is a run-of-the-mill thing. This happened all the time in medieval times. This was no big deal, especially for someone like Richard, who had fought many battles, you know, and won many battles where he was expected to lose. But anyway, on 25th of March, 1199, whilst walking around this castle's perimeter without his armor on, he's just looking at the situation, you know, surveying the battlefield, if you like. He's hit by a crossbow and he dies. It goes gangrenous and he dies. The story goes that there is a crossbowman in the castle using a frying pan as a shield and sort of batting away any arrows that are fired at him. And Richard is apparently greatly amused by this and goes to observe it and see it. And whilst he's there watching this, you know, hilarious event unfold, he is shot by a young boy with a crossbow and dies. And allegedly, the story also goes that on his deathbed, Richard ordered that the young boy be spared and no harm come to him, that it was a good shot. And, you know, nothing should happen to the boy. Of course, Richard's men do eventually take the castle, and the story goes that the young boy was murdered in cold blood, and Richard's final orders were ignored. But anyway, there you go. So, March 25th, 1199, 10 years after coming to the throne, after only visiting England twice in all of that time, Richard the Lionheart, the great warrior, is killed, and his little brother, his treacherous little brother, John, ascends to the throne. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope that's been useful to you. That concludes Richard's part of our Richard and John course, and we will start looking at John and his reign in the next podcast, and I hope very much you will join me for that one. Keep working hard. Keep that revision going. It will pay off in the end. And I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.